Okay, so last week we introduced a little bit the foundations of the issue with Shalach Manos, and we were able to kind of zero in on a very specific question we wanted to discuss. So today, let's try to do that in a more direct fashion. And the question, which clearly comes up a lot, is the issue, can one be Yotze Shalach Manos if his effort to do so is sending someone a link to a Dvar Torah about Purim, the day before Purim, that turns out to be broken, or turns out even worse to be a virus. So can you be Yotze Shalach Manos with that? So in addressing this question, we can fulfill a venerated Minig Yisrael, that the past 200 years or so, a practice is developed that every issue in Shalach Manos is discussed with the framework that was established by the Chasam Sofer. When the Chasam Sofer was addressing the psak of the Rama, the Rama had quoted, the Darche Moshe explains this from the Mari Brin, that if one offers Shalach Manos to somebody else, doesn't actually deliver it, but he says, I have Shalach Manos to bring you, and the other person says, it's okay, I don't need it, I have so many Shalach Manos that my house is completely filled up, I can't open the door, so please stay home, it's okay, thank you for offering. So the Rama says, it's okay, you are Yotze, your obligation there. And others question this, said, how could it be? And the Pasuk says, Mishloach Manos Lishriyehu, not merely offering, but you have to actually get it there. Sounds like that. So how do you know that this should be enough? And even if you want to say the Holomtis by Mechila, that Mechila is Ki'ilu Hiskavalti, that when somebody says, you don't have to give me what you owe me, even if you understand that to mean that it's as if he received it, so that could be true when there's a monetary chov, but how do you know that the mitzvah of Shalach Manos works that way? So the Chasam Sofer in his tshuva in Kuf Tzadi Vav, in Aruch Chaim, so he did a little research and he dug up two different opinions, which he says form a machlokes as to what the purpose of Shalach Manos is. And on the one hand, we have the view of the Trumas HaDeshen, that Shalach Manos is there in order to help with the mitzvah of the Suuda. And perhaps people won't have enough to make a special Suuda on Purim. So if we enact that everyone has to send gifts of food to others, hopefully that'll create a scenario where people will have enough to make a Suuda out of. While the Manos HaLevi was written by Rav Shlomo Alkavetz, as we said, is the second most famous thing he ever wrote, this one sentence in the Manos HaLevi. It's a far second. The first most famous thing was the L'cha Dodi. And somewhat behind that is this line in the Manos HaLevi, which the Chasam Sofer made famous, but still it's got a little bit to go before it's as well known as L'cha Dodi. But it's inching up there. But this idea that the purpose of Shalach Manos is to increase friendship, to be married by Shalom Vireyes, in order to offset, to counter what Haman said. That Haman said the Jews are dispersed and scattered, and we want to show that we are united, and the fastest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So if we send gifts of food, that will create achdus. So the Chasam Sofer assumes that this machlokas is going to affect the question of, is the Rama correct or not? So when the Rama says that essentially it's the thought that counts, is that true? So he says, well, it depends. If you want to say like the Trumas HaDeshen, that it's there to help with the Suda, so then it can't be assumes that Mechila would work. Because Mechila is going to undermine the whole concept of people who actually need it. If the idea is that only the people who need it will take it, so then no one's going to want to take it. No one's going to want to look like they're the ones that need it while others don't. And presumably there's another issue. You could get around the whole thing by just calling up your rich friends and saying you have Shalach Manos to offer them. And they'll all say, it's okay, I don't need it. And then nobody will actually circulate any Shalach Manos and the whole thing will fall apart. So that's how the Chasam Sofer assumes within the Trumas HaDeshen that if it's about helping with the Suda, so then it can't be that that's going to be effective. However, if it's about making friends, so then maybe, yeah, maybe it is the thought that counts, and the very fact that you made this gesture, that could be enough, that could accomplish the goal of the Manos HaLevi, and apparently that's the foundation for the Rama. So that was the Chasam Sofer we mentioned last week. And as we've suggested, kind of a minig has surrounded this issue that the overwhelming majority of discussions of Shalach Manos have invoked or have premised themselves on this tshuva, the Chasam Sofer, and on the assumption that the Manos HaLevi and the Trumas HaDeshen, they somehow fit into this equation. So we have now the opportunity to continue that in considering this very common question, because this issue, again, the question of can you be Yotzei Shalach Manos by sending a link with the Divrei Torah the day before Purim that turns out to be a virus, so that allows us to consider the Machlokas, the Manos HaLevi and the Trumas HaDeshen, in four different ways. So we should get a special kiyum here. So the first of which we mentioned last week, and that is the question of, well, is Divrei Torah even an option? If it's not, then the whole emailing thing is not really going to help so much, although I guess you could email somebody some way to get food. We have not yet reached the point where you can save food as an FOD file and email it to someone, so that's still going to be difficult, but maybe there's some other way. But Divrei Torah, at the moment, that can be sent digitally, so did Divrei Torah work for Shalach Manos? So we discussed last week that's an interesting question. There were Achronim who brought it up. There were others who thought that the whole thing is a Purim joke. And it's interesting that it sounds like it could address this issue in two ways. So one is, if you assume that you can be Yotzei mitzvos of eating through Divrei Torah, there is a Zohar like that regarding Shal Shudis, which always comes up in the discussions of Erev Pesach, Shechal Lios B'Shabbos. But even without that, even without saying that the Divrei Torah are like food, but maybe it doesn't have to be food, that if the idea is that we're looking to spread friendship, so maybe people who appreciate Torah more than they appreciate food, and therefore maybe that's an even better way to spread friendship. So it's just interesting historically that it comes out that the tzad that could allow for that would be the Manos HaLevi, and we see that the Chasam Sofer understood it, that the Rama, the Manos HaLevi, are on the same team. So it's noteworthy that historically the two of them both apparently did this in their lives. They wrote Svarim that they gave out as Shalach Manos. So the Shlomo HaKabetz with the Sefer, the Manos HaLevi. And the Rama also wrote a Sefer like that, which apparently also gave out. And that was called the Mechir Yayin. Mechir Yayin now is available on HebrewBooks.org. So it's a good instrument for this question. I'm assuming the Manos HaLevi is also available on HebrewBooks.org. So he had to make physical copies, but Bizman Hazeh, it's something that can be emailed. Okay, so question one is, do Divrei Torah work for this purpose? Could Divrei Torah stand in for Shalach Manos? So that would seem to be a little bit of a toss-up, but maybe if you say, like the Manos HaLevi and the Rama, so maybe you have room to do that. Now, what about sending it as a link? So what should the issue be with sending it as a link? So here, the question is, what about the fact that there isn't very much effort involved? So when it comes to Shalach Manos, do we just look at the fact that a gift was sent? Or are we interested also that it should be impressive? So here, there is some discussion. In general, we know that when we talk about what's the minimum for Shalach Manos, so we assume that it's supposed to be a gift of two items to one person. That's the diak from the pasuk, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Ritva that there is also a minimum value, which should be a Shavapruta. But if you look in that Ritva, as the Megillah on Dav Zayin, So he also points out that he thinks it makes a difference in terms of its relative chashivas. That if you want to send shalach manis to a very wealthy person, so if you're going to send a small snack to a billionaire, it's not going to really have much of an impact on him. And conversely, if that billionaire would send you, in return, a small bag of pretzels and a half-used bottle of soda, so you're not going to be too impressed either. You're going to think he's capable of so much more, so you're not going to be too impressed. So says the Ritva, a davar katan li'ashir or a davar katan me'ashir is not going to be effective. That regardless of what the item is, if its relative significance to who is either the giver or the receiver is not very much, so then that's going to not be effective for shalach manas. So that goes to this idea that it has to impress the person somewhat in terms of the effort that was put into it. And that is invoked, this Ritva is invoked in a few other discussions. Clearly Ritva came before the Manos Salevi, but it could be that Ritva's view is in sync with that, that it's got to be something that's going to arouse a feeling of being impressed and of taking note. So Rav Zsolti, for example, has a discussion in a Sefer Mishnah Yaveh, so back with Tzal Zsolti. He talks about the question of whether we should invoke kfiya when it comes to shalach manas. Should, if we had a very formalized and organized society, should we say that we're going to compel people to give shalach manas? Because indeed, you do find such a structure historically when it comes to tzedakah. Nowadays, we don't really have communities that are set up that way, but once upon a time, we had a function of tzedakah that was subject to kfiya. So there, as he points out, it would seem like it should be totally, that if it's about tzedakah, so then if this is something that's meant to be charitable gift, essentially, so then perhaps kfiya could be effective. But if the idea is that it's about impressing people and making friends, you're not going to have so much impact if you show up at the person's door and you have two U.S. Marshals with you, and saying, by dint of law, I hereby am forced to give you this gift, it's not going to really be too impressive. There's a similar svar in the Tshuvas Rideish, where he writes that the reason you don't make a bracha on Shalach Manas is a couple of reasons why you don't make a bracha. But one of them is, he says, how exactly is it going to come across when you bring a gift to somebody and say, hold on, before you take this, I got to say something. Blessed is God who commanded me and ordered me and forced me to give you this gift. The person's not necessarily going to get all teary-eyed with gratitude.
We don't make a bracha on stuff either.
So that's an interesting question. So whether that's related or not, the 3DH talks about that. There's a lot of different explanations that are invoked why you don't make a bracha on both on stock and on shalach manas, but that's one of the points that was invoked. Just parenthetically, when you're mentioning that, you know, the Rashba, his famous tshuva, in general, if you want to talk about the question of what mitzvos get brachos and what mitzvos don't. So there's two major Maamar Komos, well, really three. First is the Tshuvas HaRashba, and then there's the Beis Yosef and Hilchos Pesach that's often quoted, and then in the Achronim, the Divrei Malkiel has a Tshuva that's also been very influential on this topic. But in the Tshuvas HaRashba, he sounds like he's saying that the reason you don't make a bracha on staka is because you don't make a bracha on something that's Tali Bedas HaCherim, that if you need the cooperation of someone else for the mitzvah, so it sounds like he's saying, some dispute if this is what he means, but it sounds like he's saying that you need the other person to receive it, so therefore you can't make a bracha because who knows what'll happen. So there were those who were masik here that, okay, so then according to the Ramah, it doesn't work by Shalach Manas, because by Shalach Manas you'll be Yotze even if the guy doesn't take it, so the Rashba's logic shouldn't apply. So it's questionable on a couple levels. First of all, it doesn't sound like the Ramah means that you're Yotze even if the guy throws it back in your face. It sounds like you're Yotze if the guy says, oh, thank you for the thought, but I don't need it. But it's not clear that there's no scenario where it'll be Yotzei regardless of what the other guy does. But in any event, that's a whole discussion. This radiation, others have a few other explanations as to why it is. So, in any event, yeah.
How come we were hesitant to say that in the second approach, like the Man Muslimi, even if it's being forced, even if it's being coerced, maybe we're just compelling people to be my with their eyes?
Yeah, the question is, will it be received that way? So if somebody knows that you're giving them a gift because your hands are tied, so the question is, how are they going to respond?
There's no saying that, I mean, we're forcing you, but I mean, that's what we're forcing you to do.
But it may not have that effect. You know, if the purpose is that it's meant to get people all warm and fuzzy, so then that's not necessarily going to happen if it's being compelled. It could be that this is the kind of mitzvah that doesn't work that way. That's what the Sridiyesh is suggesting. So it's also related in the question of effort and how much it should impress you. So the Rav Nosson Gishtetner has a tshuva in the L'Horus Nosson. Says, let's say somebody is cholish aimbo sarkana. So this is a very, very specific kind of scenario. It's just here for the nafkamina. But somebody who, you have a friend who's a cholish aimbo sarkana, and he's allowed to eat something that's asur bahanah midrabanan. And you just happen to have something in your possession that's asur bahanah midrabanan. So you can't eat it, but he can eat it. He's a cholash aimbo sarkana, he can eat it. So you send it to him for shalach manas. So maybe he thought that was also totally on this issue and this ritva and these related positions. That if you want to say that it's about helping with the su'udah, okay, he can use it for his su'udah, so it'll be effective for that. But if you want to say it's about impressing him, so he knows that you can't eat it. So therefore, he's not going to think this is such a great gift. He's going to realize the only way you can offload this in any useful way is to give it to him. So then he's not going to be too impressed. Separate from the questions that Machronim consider, is that called Hana? And if the whole point is that he's supposed to have warm feelings for you after you do this, so then maybe getting him to feel grateful, maybe that is Hana. So that's a separate question. But separate from that issue, so assuming it's not a problem for the giver, but it is the in fulfillment of shalach manas. It's an interesting little circle there. So you'll say, well, then he's not going to fulfill shalach manas, so he's not going to be machzik tov to him. So it's kind of habaha that if he is going to feel gratitude, then it should be hana, it should be also for him to give it to him, but if he's not, then it's not. So in any event, so that's the question some discuss, that since it's not really such an impressive gift, the recipient knows that you can't do anything with it, do you fulfill shalach manos with that? So here, it's just interesting, a little bit of synergy. Last week on Friday was the Daf Yomi for the Daf of Akaneva's Das. That's a chock full Daf. It was a great day to jump into Daf Yomi for Daf Tzadi Dalet and Maseches Chulin. So there, one of the concepts that you find is that when you give somebody a gift, and they don't realize that you can't use it, that's a problem of Gneivas Das. So, for example, Mishnah says, and the Gemara explains, that if you give an animal, you give some meat to a Nachri, who's not Jewish, and he doesn't have to worry about the kashrus, but still, you have to tell him if the Gid Hanosh is still there, because otherwise, if he thinks you could have eaten it, and you're giving it to him, so he will have disproportionate gratitude to you. He will think that, wow, you're giving him meat that you could use, and he'll feel a hakar satov, which is not really correct, because the truth is, you couldn't eat it. So it's nice that you're giving it to him instead of something else, but still, it's not the gift that he thinks it is, and that's deceptive. That's the problem with Gneivas Das. He's going to have unjustified gratitude. So it's the same kind of issue here, that a person is not going to feel the same degree of gratitude for a gift when they know that you can't really use it anyway, you have no other purpose for it. So to hear, that's the question. Is it going to be considered shalach manas under those circumstances? So all of this goes to the issue that is it just that you need to send something, or is it that it has to display some kind of effort, some kind of thought and some kind of tircha, so that the person feels that this is something to appreciate. So that would then be question number two. Question number one, was Divrei Torah at all a vehicle for Shalach Manos? And our second question now, even if you say that Divrei Torah could be effective, what if you do it in a pretty much effortless way? You just click a link and send it. You don't actually, and you could do it to hundreds of people at once with the exact same amount of effort. So does that affect things? That's also a question. Just to add, it's also relevant, the Achronim talk about that there is a tshuva in the Tshuva's River Sephraim about this, and I saw that my friend Rabbi Asher Bush had written an article about this in Beis Yitzchak many years ago, and it recently came out with another volume of his tshuva, Shol B'Shomo. I don't remember if it's in one of the published tshuvas, but it was in Beis Yitzchak many years ago, where he talked about the prevalent practice the shuls have to get together b'shutfis and send out Shalach Manos. So relevant to that question is also that people feel like they're getting something personalized under those circumstances when it's all one group efforts. It all connects to that same question. Hi.
What if you define something as different Torah, but the other person doesn't?
Ooh. So that was Reb Chaim's point when we talk about the other tzad, right? The tzad that it should count for some type of a meal. And so Reb Chaim's often quoted line was that it's not a good strategy to use Divrei Torah for a Shal Shudas, let's say, because somebody could shlug up your Divrei Torah, but they can't shlug up a piece of gefilte fish. So gefilte fish is solid. Nothing could possibly go wrong with that. But when it comes to Divrei Torah, so who knows, maybe it'll turn out that it's not going to count. So, you know, that's an interesting, you know, might be a Lashitaso in some attitudes, but whatever, but in terms of how to understand the significance. But in any event, so that's within the idea that it should count as a meal. But in terms of whether it should be Mar B'Shalom V'Reis, I guess it depends on how the Divrei Torah are received. If they think that it's so bad, it's so wrong that it's offensive, or they think that it's somehow going to just cause them bad feelings, so then it's another interest if you attack them through your Divrei Torah. If you want to send somebody a non-respectful hasaga and phrase it in sharp language, as sometimes happens, so then maybe that should be a nafka mina. Okay, it's a good point. All right, so we've discussed so far two of the issues. So can it be Divrei Torah, and can it be Divrei Torah in a effortless way, like a link that you send to hundreds of people? And to make the question more acute, let's assume you didn't write up a long Divrei Torah and send it out then as a link. You sent a link to something that's already there online, so you didn't actually do too much work. So question, just to have it in its purest form. So question three, what if the link doesn't work? What if, worse than not working, what if it turns out to be a virus? So that kind of just threw in there to make it even more elaborate. But, you know, we discussed whether you're chayav for viruses in a couple of shiurim last week and last month as well. So that we won't go over into detail. We know the ins and outs of that issue, whether there is a chayav for sending a virus. It could refer to earlier shiurim. But what about the fact that it doesn't actually work, that they're not actually going to be able to access any Divrei Torah with this link? So here the Birkei Yosef has a tshuva. What about if you send a chicken to somebody? The Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef was the Chida, his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Chida discusses, let's say you send a chicken to somebody and it turns out to be a treifa. So maybe that should also be tali, that in the other way, that maybe it's the thought that counts, that you try to send a gift, but Umaisa, it's not going to end up being useful. So they can't use it for their Suda, but you tried, so maybe from that side it should work. You know, so that's also interesting. The virus question, I guess, is probably going to be enough to probably a difference between a broken link and a virus. You send a broken link, okay, maybe they'll think, okay, he tried, no harm, no foul. I guess no pun intended to the Tarnagol case. But if you send a virus, so it's safe to say that the harm will probably outweigh any goodwill that could have been engendered. And they probably would assume that you have a greater achrayus to make sure not to be sending around viruses. So it's probably a difference. If you send around the broken link, so then maybe, okay, they'll still think it's the thought that counts, and no big deal. If you send around the virus, then that could definitely undermine, certainly if you're doing it intentionally, then have a whole other issues with you, but even accidentally, that probably would undermine any goodwill that you were sending around. So that's in terms of the third question. So now we got three steps so far. That if it was Divrei Torah sent as a link, it doesn't work. But the fourth question, so what if you send it before her? Does that matter? So the Ramah has a psak in Shulchan Aruch that when you send Shalach Manas, so we understand sometimes there's a time lag between when you send it and when it's received. But the Ramah says either way, it has to be received on Purim. And by Purim, he means Purim day, not even Purim night. The mitzvahs of Purim pretty much are really applicable only during the daytime. So you'll say to me, well, what about Megillah? There's a Megillah at night. So that's the whole shiur. Maybe we'll have time to talk about that, but there's a big case to be made that the primary mitzvah of Megillah is really during the daytime, and the nighttime Megillah has a very different status to it. Even though sociologically it's often the opposite. Sociologically, there's much more attention given to the nighttime Mikra Megillah than to the daytime Mikra Megillah. But nonetheless, al pi halacha, it's pretty much muskum that the daytime Mikra Megillah is more significant. And the mitzvos bichlal are during the daytime. What about drinking? Drinking for sure. There is no obligation or kiyum or recommendation that anyone should be drinking at all at night. Again, daytime, own story. We could talk about that separately. But certainly at night, there's absolutely no reason for anybody to be drinking and to claim at all that that is anything that has any kind of religious value to it whatsoever. I'm not saying the next day there is, but it's a different story. But at least for the nighttime, just to get that part out there, there's no justification whatsoever for any kind of drinking. So the mitzvahs of the Purim are all during the daytime, and Shalach Manas as well. So the Ramah writes that it has to be received on Purim itself. So one could ask, well, why should that be true? That if the purpose of the Shalach Manas is to help with the Suda, so then even if it gets there the day before, certainly the night before, so then you should be able to use it for your suuda, especially bizmaneinu, that we have refrigeration, so we can hold on to things longer. But it shouldn't be totally, presumably, on getting there during the same halachic zone as Purim itself. So it seems that here the Ramah is l'shitaso again, that if you assume, like the Manos Halevi, which the Ramah has aligned with for the most part, that the purpose of Shalach Manas is to make friends. So then the real question is, when is the kiyum of the Shalach Manas? The kiyum is the OHN moment. The, oh, how nice. When do they say, oh, how nice? So they say that when they receive it. If they receive it the day before, even though they could eat it on Purim, but the kiyum was not from the eating it, the kiyum was from the, oh, how nice, from the reaction that they get when they see it, and therefore that is the time when the mitzvah is fulfilled. So according to the Ramah l'shitaso, it sounds like it has to be received on the day of Purim itself. That's what the Ramah states. There's a whole discussion, and look in the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch about the Yudalit and Tesvav and other issues, the Behetev. Others talk about some other complications, but it would seem like that's how it should break down, that according to the Ramah, it has to be received on Purim. And according to the Trumas HaDeshen, one would have thought that it could be a little before Purim too, as long as it's available to be used on Purim, but not after Purim. Except there is a tshuva of the Kajik Lavarav, again, our friend from the portrait on the 5A in the library, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Frimer, who was the Rav of Kajglav, the Rashiv of Chachmei Lublin, and the author of the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi. And if you look in the Kajglav's Tshuvas in general, they're always fascinating. He always has very interesting things to say. And he was the Talmud of the Avnei Nezer and the Chassidus Rebbe. And there are two token qualities you can find in many tshuvas of the Kajik Lever. One is that they're often very creative, and two, that he's always being Malamid Zchus and Klal Yisrael. He's always looking to explain the practices of the Jewish people. So here you see both at play, because he discusses the question, it seems like we just said, that according to everybody, at least it's got to be there by Purim, not after Purim. But you do see that there are Jews delivering Shalach Manas on Purim, running around in their cars, bringing over the Shalach Manas, and sometimes they get late so that it's dark, and it's after Purim already. It's Shushan Purim in places that are not Shushan or Yerushalayim. So what's the point in that? Can you be Yotze Shalach Manas at that time? So one would think no, but the Kajik Lever says yes. It says that you could explain that also. This is based on the Tshumas Adeshen. Ironically, it says if you think that it's there for the purposes of the Suda, so we see that the Purim Suda, there is an interesting Hanhaga, which seems to be correct, seems to be justifiable, Lapi Halacha, that many assume that the Suda has to start on Purim Day, but can extend beyond, can extend after dark into the next day. So that seems to be an accepted practice in Klal Yisrael. It's a different discussion. That seems to be an accepted practice. But what emerges from there is that you can have a Sudas Purim, which extends into the post-Purim hours. So if that's the case, people are still fulfilling their Sudas Purim even after Purim is technically over. So maybe there's still a role for Shalach Manas, because you can still contribute to that Purim Suda during the time after Purim. It's also interesting that in that same tshuva, the Kajik Lover adds that he can even defend the other tzad. So you would think, okay, you would have thought it has to get there before Purim ends, and he's got a limud zchus to let it go after. But what about if it gets there before Purim, and you consume it before Purim? So then you would also think that that shouldn't be any good. But he's got a limud zchus for that also, and he's got a raya from a gemara, again, in his typical creative sense. He's got a way to see things in a different light. So he argues that even if it was received before Purim and it was eaten before Purim, but if the roshem, if you still feel a geshmak from it, you still feel happy that you had this, in a way, it had to have to be something quite impactful, but you still feel its effects on Purim itself. So then he thought there was a tzad you could be yotze with that as well. That's a big stretch, but again, that's in keeping with his general limud zchus that he has. So theoretically, one could say from the Divrei Torah also, you know, Divrei Torah certainly have a lingering geshmak. That's why we have a problem with learning Torah not only on Tisha B'Av when we say that B'kudi Hashem Yisharim Asam Chelev, but the initial even on Erev Tisha B'Av, because the geshmak that you'll get on Erev Tisha B'Av will extend into Tisha B'Av also. So in that kind of a vein, saying that maybe if you want to put these two together, you could say that the Divrei Torah will have such a geshmak that it's going to still be impacting you on Purim, so maybe there's what to talk about. But of course, it's difficult to put those last two together. You can maybe have a geshmak from the Divrei Torah even from the day before, assuming that it worked. But if the link was broken, so then it's hard for there really to be any lingering positivity. So it's hard to have all these factors together. But this does give us an opportunity, like we see, to look at least of all these four factors as moving components. Can it be Divrei Torah? Can it be a link? Can it be a broken link, and can it be the day before Purim? But maybe you're thinking, well, but it can't be all these things for another reason, because it involves conflicting shitas, that you're going to need the Manos Halevi in order for it to be a Dvar Torah, but the Manos Halevi won't be satisfied with it being just a link, or it being the day before. and you'll need the Trumas Sadeh, well, maybe the day before, maybe it depends how you understand it. It's going to be hard to make it work out, the Shitaso, for all of these Shitas. But perhaps we could say that Laman HaShalom, we can expand the range of some of these Shitas. And it's interesting, just to mention in closing, that there was a notion Rabbi Nachum Zemba pointed out, the Gemara Maseches Megillah on Daf Yudalid, the Gemara raises the question, what was wrong with the Jews of the time of Purim? What did they do? What did the Jews of that time, what did they do that they deserved to be destroyed? And the Gemara has two answers. One is either that they partook and they enjoyed the Suda of Achashverosh, and it wasn't an issue of kashrus, it was other reasons why that was worthy of condemnation. Or mipnei shnashdachu l'tzalim, because they bowed down to the Avodah Zarah that Haman had. So those two reasons, Rabbi Nachum Zemba pointed out, that if those are the two flaws the Jews had at that time, so then the mitzvah of Shalach Manas, as has been understood, is targeted towards those two issues. Because if the big problem was an inappropriate suda, so then how do you fix that? How are you attacking that? With an appropriate suda, Sudas Purim is a tikkun for the inappropriate suda, the Sudas Achashverosh. But if the issue was Avodah Zarah, so how do you fix that? How do you atone for Avodah Zarah? So there, the Medrash says in Parashas Tzav, and there are many other Mamari Chazal along the same lines, says Gadol HaShalom, that Shalom is incredible, it's very powerful, that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Bizman Shehem B'chabura Achas, at a time when the Jews create one entity, Afilu Avdu Avodah Zarah Ani Mocha Lehem, even if they've been involved in Avodah Zarah, I will forgive them, which is not to say that you can be over to Avodah Zarah L'chachila in order to create a bond, but that after the fact that the Chabur Achas is a tikkun for Avodah Zarah. So the attitude of Shalom is a tikkun, is something that will repair that history of Avodah Zarah. So maybe we'll also have the attitude of Shalom, that the different views here can respect the tzadim on each side, and maybe we can be mitzarif even some of the conflicting shlitas and say that this discussion has some keen to it. So in any event, just to quickly chazir, so we saw that the four parts of our discussion could all correlate to the Chassam Sofer's machlokas between the Trumas HaDeshen and the Manos Salevi. Is Shalach Manas there for helping with the Suda, or is it there to make friends? So the first question, did Divrei Torah work? So if you want to say it's for the Suda, it's harder to say, even though there is such a tzad by Shal Shudas. But it's better if you want to say that it's about making friends. You can make friends with Torah for sure. And so that's maybe a possibility. The second question is, if you send a link, so then we discussed that might depend on whether Shalach Manas has to be impressive and show effort, or is it enough just that something is being sent? And we saw that through the perspective of the Ritva, that the Dover Cotton Li'ashir or Me'ashir is not going to be effective because it's not going to be impressive, and how that was invoked in discussion of Kfiya by Mishnas Yavetz, and the question of sending an Isser Hana Midrabanan to a chol Hashem Bosakan is going to know that you can't use it yourself, the Laharis Nasan and others. So that could be connected to that. And then we talked about the question of a virus or maybe a broken link. Maybe those are two separate issues, that it's perhaps comparable to the Birki Yosef. If you send a chicken, it turns out to be a trefa. So then the question is, do we say that even though it didn't help for the Suda, but the thought is still appreciated? So maybe that's possible here also if the link is broken. We said if it was actually a virus, aside from the questions of the Chiyuv Nezikin, but perhaps that's going to undermine any good feeling, and that's really a different category. And then we talked about it getting there the day before, that was related to the Ramah's ruling that Shalach Manas has to get there on the day, even though you would think if it's useful for the Suda, it could get there before also, but the Ramah says differently, presumably because he's focused on the OHN moment, the Oh How Nice moment, because he sees it about making friends, while if it's about providing for the Suda, should be enough if it gets there before. And we saw the Kadjik Lavra said even if it gets there after, it could be used for the Suda if the Suda is extending into darkness. And even on the other side, if you eat it before, it could still also be effective because of the lingering pleasure that comes from having had this meal. So certainly when it comes to Divrei Torah, there is such a svara, so maybe that should be relevant as well. And then we pointed out that the Tzirah Fashitas here is a little bit difficult because they're conflicting with each other. But maybe in the spirit of extra shalom, we can embrace that. And we mentioned the word of Menachem Zemba, that the two reasons in the Gemara for the destruction, the threatened destruction, rather, of the Jewish people during the time of Purim, the Suras Achashverosh and the Avodah Zarah, that they're both addressed by Shalach Manas, according to the Shemus Hadesh, and the Suras Achashverosh is addressed to the Sudas Purim, and according to the Manas Halevi, the Avodah Zarah of that time is addressed through the sense of Shalom that should emerge. So that should certainly be our attitude towards the upcoming festival. And God willing, we will sense that as we get closer. And tomorrow we will, Bez Hashem, start in the Sugya. All right, we wish everyone a wonderful day. Should be.